Well, I'd like to turn today over to Deuteronomy. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. If I can get this thing going. There it is. Deuteronomy 32. And we're going to read verses 7 through 18. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him. There was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine and the blood of grapes. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him, and he scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you. This text comes from what is commonly called the Song of Moses, which is composed and taught to the children of Israel in accordance with the command of God found in Deuteronomy 31, verses 14 through 19. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go in to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say, 'Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?' And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. Now, therefore, write down this song for yourself and teach it to the children of Israel. Put in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. This song clearly contrasts the faithfulness of God with the infidelity of Israel. It looks prophetically into the future of Israel and to the time whenever they would in Canaan become haughty and forget God. Now, in Deuteronomy 32:10-14, as we read, we find a figurative description of God's providential care of Israel. Notice, he found them in a desert land, a wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreads out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might produce, eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, and milk of the fat of the flock, with the fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine and the blood of grapes. But God found them, how? Perishing in Egypt. Notice, they were perishing in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, we see here the encircling of them and showing God's great love for them. He only delivered them from Egypt and took them out of the wilderness and led them to the promised land. And you, in Exodus 19:4, we read, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." But God, in spite of the fact that he led them, there was no excuse for them to apostatize. In verses 12 through 14, we read about them riding in the heights of the earth, referring to the conquest of their enemies, and drawing honey out of rock and oil from the flinty rock speaks of the bees and olive trees that were found in Canaan's rocky areas. And then curds from the cattle speaks of cheeses, which would come from the herds, and the milk of the flock, which would describe the abundant supply of fresh milk. But also they were to have fatted lambs. That is the very best that they can have in the way of lambs, that the fine rams that were bred in Bashan, the finest wheat and the finest wine, everything provided for them. How? By the grace of God. But Israel showed their gratitude for God for all of these things by going into apostasy. This was gross ingratitude. The name Jeshurun is found four times in the Old Testament, and it means primarily a righteous nation. Here it is used in irony of the fallen state in which Israel was to be found. Their name meant righteous, but they were everything but righteous. And then he says, they grew fat and kicked. This is an allusion to an ox, which has grown fat through good feeding, and consequently becomes unmanageable. Notice they have grown fat and kicked. God had promised in Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 10, that they had everything they could imagine. But in Deuteronomy 31:20, he said, when I have brought to them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke and break my covenants, covenant. Men often repay God's generosity by kicking or rebelling against God. This is a sad observation, but prosperity, and I quote from Mr. George Horn, prosperity too often has the same effect on its possessor that a calm sea has on a Dutch mariner who frequently, it said, in these circumstances, ties up the rudder and gets drunk and goes to sleep. So it is. Israel had become smug and complacent in their prosperity and forsook their God. Notice here, our text tells us that they also treated scornfully, or they scornfully esteemed, the rock of his salvation. Now, what does this mean exactly? Well, it means that they had treated God as a fool. They had despised him who had given them everything. In fact, they had provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. Of course, along with them came abominations that provoked him to anger. This is just terrible to see how anyone could do such a thing to the God of heaven. But sad to say, ancient Israel is but a true mirror of God's people today. Ancient Israel is described in 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 6. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual rock. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us that we're to learn from their mistakes. Isn't that simple? Look at what Israel of old did and learn from their mistakes. The holy name given by God for his people today, which is Christian, is reproached the way the name Jeshurun was held in scorn. Just as Israel grew fat and kicked under God's prosperity and abundance, so also do we. We are surrounded by an abundance of modern conveniences, microwave ovens, power lawnmowers, vacuum cleaners, computers, on and on we could go, all designed to save us time and to save us labor. But what do we see? Still no time found for the Lord. No time found for enriching the soul. No time found for prayer or Bible study. Beautiful homes filled with elegant furnishings, but not used for hospitality and association with other Christians. More disposable income than people have had for many years. But what's it used for? Used for entertainment and personal enjoyment, not for spreading the gospel and doing that which is good in the sight of God. The consequence is more of an independent attitude toward the Lord and indifference toward his cause. It is as if Christ was writing to many Christians today whenever he said to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, verse 15 through 19, I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed, may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I think it's pretty plain to see that Jesus could easily address these same words to many of the churches today. Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Now, certainly we don't want to see a cold and indifferent church. But we don't want to see a lukewarm church either. We have to be hot. Just like Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold. Why? Well, because that you're either one way or the other. Which is it? Are you hot or cold? Don't be in lukewarm. And you notice what makes the Lord sick? Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. May God help us all to be aware of the evil examples that Israel of old has set. I know that much of what we talked about today is from your daily Bible reading. And if you haven't been keeping up with that, you would do well to start now. It's never too late to start. Just go on our website and go under Bible study materials, and you'll find the list for 2021. And just find the month on there. And if you need to print it out for yourself, or if you want to just save it to your phone somehow, you're welcome to do that. But follow along with the daily Bible reading. Read about the people of Israel. God led them up to the border of Israel's promised land. And what happened? They were afraid. And God said, nope, not going to give it to you. And they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness until all that generation had passed, except for a few who were ready to go into the land and take it. They came once again. They sent spies in. And they said, there's giants over there. But they finally went in, and God blessed them with victory when they followed what he said. But we've already seen that in the case of Ai, didn't work. Why? Because they didn't consult God about it. They didn't do it the way God wanted it done. And so eventually it was taken, and they had problems with the overcoming the city of Ai, but they had... it had resulted in a victory for them. And then they went on into the promised land. Everything's looking good. And then they stopped doing what God told them to do. God told them to kill every person. Every person. Not to leave anyone alive. But what did they do? They left a few here and a few there. And in fact, even when they took Jerusalem, they didn't completely drive out the Jebusites. The Jebusites continued to live among them. That was not by God's design. And that is what weakened them. And that is what eventually destroyed them. Now, are we going to learn from this example? And maybe if we do, we will not fall into sin as they did. Learn from the examples of those who have gone before us.